But it's time now for us to stay on Ohio State football as we bring in our very next guest, Sean Dunnigan, with WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How you guys? How you doing up there?
So far, so good. Sun's out. We've got 70 degrees. Could be a lot worse this time of year. No question about that. And, boy, down in Columbus, things could be going a heck of a lot worse as well. Ohio State, a 34-10 winner over Michigan State last Saturday. Dunny, which units do you think had the best games all around?
Are you talking about just in the first half, or are you talking about just against Michigan State?
Just against Michigan State.
It's hard to say. I think the linebackers had a very good game for Ohio State. I think the offensive line had a great game against Michigan State, how they were able to protect Justin Fields. It was a much better Michigan State defense, probably the best defense they've gone against this season. They kept them pretty much clean, right, especially after the first quarter. First quarter was tough sledding, like we expected it to be, but the Buckeyes really did a great job of adapting to what their offensive game plan needed to be able to get some big plays against Michigan State, and they accomplished that extremely well. Defense, the linebackers, really, they had their noses towards the football. They really were able to stop Michigan State for the most part on for short downs and all that. Brian Lewerke had his way a few times on third and longs, like we talked about last week. They had one touchdown drive in which they had big plays the entire drive down. But after that, it was few and far between. So I think overall, everybody had a great game.
They certainly did. Now, that running game was absolutely incredible. Michigan State's got a pretty good defense altogether. They're especially stout against the run, but Ohio State had some fun at their expense last Saturday night. Who on that offensive line has been singled out throughout the course of the week? Because that entire unit really shined against a very good Michigan State defensive front.
Can I just say everybody? Because, I mean, everybody has really played a part, whether it comes to Josh Myers at center, Jonah Jackson comes from Rutgers as a graduate transfer, all the way out to the tackles and Jack Allaby and Brennan Bowen and Wyatt Davis and Thayer Munford and so on and so forth. Everybody has really played well. This is a group that never played with each other before until fall camp, because Jonah Jackson wasn't on campus until fall camp began in August. So, for a squad that really doesn't have any chemistry or didn't have any chemistry coming into the season, they have shined, I think, and they have been one of the main bright spots for this Ohio State team.
Funny to ask this question when 44 points were scored, but then again, when you put up as many points as the Buckeyes have this season, the bar has been set especially high. Was this a bit more of a lower-scoring affair than you had anticipated?
Well, if you go back to last week, I believe I set a score of 38-14. So it wasn't as low scoring as I was expecting, or as high as, I guess, high scoring. I missed it by 8 total points, so it's not horrible. But I think it was right where I expected it to be. Buckeyes had a pick six taken off the board for a supposed, alleged refs might have seen blindside block that I don't think anybody else saw, but, otherwise it would have been 41-10 and a higher score. But be that as it may, I think it was right where it was expected to be, at least on my end. I don't think it was low scoring at all, but I think people expect it to be a higher scoring game since the Buckeyes scored in the 40s all season, 40s and 50s and 60s and that 70-point game.
Sure, and that's why I mentioned the bar has just been set incredibly high. I say that because I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine in the golf course this past weekend, and the conversation came up about how there were some opening lines at 16.5. It went all the way up to 20, and I got to thinking, that just seems like a lot. Now, as it turns out, Ohio State ended up covering, but I said I could see a 30-14 scenario here. I think that's certainly not too far-fetched. And my buddy looked at me and said, "You really think they're going to keep them to 30 points?" I said, yeah, I mean, Michigan State's defense is better, I think, than a lot of people think. Now, I'm not sure if there's a defense out there that could really slow Ohio State down under 30 points. I mean, you'll get the argument from the Alabama fans out there and things like that. But, boy, really, Donnie, outside of that, I'm not sure that there's a defense that could keep Ohio State under 30.
When you get talking about what the Buckeyes have coming up, you look at Wisconsin and their defense, and they're playing really good under Jim Leonard, their defense coordinator. And then you have to look at Penn State and what they've done, and their defensive front seven is the fastest I've ever seen it over at Happy Valley. Those are going to be two very good games, and those two defenses will be coming into Ohio Stadium ready to play. So, there are two big defenses just in their conference the Buckeyes still have to play. Now, yeah, they could keep Ohio State under 30 points.
Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Justin Fields passes yet another tough test. Do you think he's in the running for some major postseason awards if this continues? I mean, I'm not necessarily focusing on the Heisman here or anything like that just yet. As you mentioned, he's got some tough tests ahead. But do you think he's certainly in the running for some of those at this point?
Oh, I don't think he's in the running. I think he's right up there, especially for the Heisman. You look at the other quarterbacks that are doing well, former Buckeye, now current LSU quarterback, Joe Burrow. He's definitely in the running. Obviously, Tua Tagovailoa is up there, and you got some others, like Sam Ellinger at Texas, and you got Trevor Lawrence down there at Clemson. But, yeah, Justin Fields is definitely in the hunt. Over 20 touchdowns responsible for one interception, and it was he threw up a fair catch kind of throw, and Michigan State came down with it. But I think he's definitely in the mix for some postseason awards. And remember, he's only a true sophomore, so he's coming back to Ohio State next season.
You alluded to this a couple of minutes ago. But I think for us right now, it's hard to see anybody else in the Big Ten really putting up much of a fight at this point. I think we all kind of thought that Michigan would make for a great game at the end of the year. They still could. But, boy, right now, Michigan doesn't look all that great. Can you see anybody else in the Big Ten putting up much of a fight against Ohio State at this point?
Absolutely. The two teams I said earlier, Wisconsin and Penn State, I think right now they are the two biggest tests, obviously. Wisconsin, you have to first and foremost stop Jonathan Taylor. You have to stop him. That's your big key in stopping Wisconsin. He's a very tough back to stop. And then they're one of those teams that they manage the game extremely well. They will dink and dunk you down the field, and then when you least expect it, they'll throw it over the top of you. With Penn State, they have a very good quarterback in Sean Clifford. They're not missing their quarterback transfer at all that went down to Mississippi State. They're playing extremely well right now. They have a run game and a throwing game. And again, a defensive front seven that will scare a lot of teams, not just in the Big Ten, but nationally. So, yeah, those are the two big tests. And always the Michigan game at the end of the season is always a big test, no matter what the records look like, no matter what the teams look like. That will always be the biggest test of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this year, obviously, I think at least right now, it's got a little bit of a different feel to it. There were a lot of big publications at the beginning of the year stating that Michigan could be a playoff team. And, certainly, we're about 6 weeks away from the game, so we've got a little ways to go yet. Michigan could certainly look a little bit different by the time we get there. But you're right. It just seems like regardless of the records.
Don't sleep on Michigan and what they've been able to do. You look at their Iowa game, and they sacked Iowa's quarterback 7 or 8 times. They had them to 3 points. Iowa is still a ranked team, still nationally ranked at 17, I believe. They were 14 when Michigan played them. So, you can't look past Michigan and what they've been able to do, at least defensively. They look pretty good. Offensively, they need a lot of work. But defensively, they can definitely keep the offense off the field for a bit.
Probably need a better identity offensively, and that's a little surprising, given the background of Jim Harbaugh. But regardless, we'll talk about that game when it comes around. Bye week coming up here. What does the schedule look like for the Buckeyes over the next week and change? I mean, they've got at least a little bit of time off. How does that work with their schedule? Are they getting any practices off and things like that, or are they just going to go at it with a normal schedule before next Friday's game?
Well, no, I believe they had a couple of practices off. They're keeping it as an open week, as a bye week. So they're definitely getting some rest, but then they're back at it on Sunday instead of normally Monday because of the Friday game. So everything kind of gets moved back a day. So their normal Tuesday is their Monday. Their normal Wednesday is their Tuesday this week. So it'll be a little bit different for them. that Friday at 8:30 kick over at in Evanston against Northwestern. But yeah, everything else kind of stays the same. But yeah, they definitely get some practice and some well deserved time off because they definitely they need it just to get healthy.
All right. Well, you alluded to this. Next Friday, as stupid as that sounds, they're taking on Northwestern, as you mentioned, in Evanston. Ryan Field, a cool place to watch a game. As a matter of fact, I had the chance to call one there almost 20 years ago.
I remember that call vividly.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shocker with the mighty Bowling Green Falcons pulling off a stunner on a two-point conversion with less than a minute to play to take down the Northwestern Wildcats. But Ohio State taking on Northwestern, and I know that a lot of times coaches will tell you that they're going to shift their focus to the next opponent. How much of that have you heard from the coaches so far this week, or have they been more focused on trying to get these guys a little time off?
The focus is getting these guys some time off, and they deserve it, like I said. Obviously, they're going to be looking towards Northwestern, but Northwestern also has a bye week this week. So there's really no looking ahead and watching tape of their upcoming game because their upcoming game is the same as Ohio State. So, you know, that's one of those things where it kind of helps both and it hurts both in that same thing. But they'll definitely, you know, probably the coaches will definitely be out recruiting. Coaches will be watching some film. The players will be coming into the facility and watching some film and hanging out and continuing their chemistry. But overall, I think it's just a more of a light week more than anything that you would see this week.
What's the feeling like down there in Columbus about these ridiculous Friday night games? I know I've made my thoughts very well known on this. I think Friday nights should be set aside for high school football, but this is not an Ohio State thing. This is a Big Ten thing where they are making Ohio State play this game on Friday night against those mighty Wildcats. But what are some things you're hearing down there in the state capitol? What's the general consensus on playing on Friday night?
I'd say 99% of the people agree with you that nobody really likes it. Ohio State has come out and said, we'll do this every, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, not more than that, and we will never play a home game on a Friday night. That, you know, that's high school football in Ohio is big, and they want to keep it to the kids, to the high school kids, and it's well-deserved that they get their own night. You know, it's like everybody else. Nobody really everyone understands it because it's big money for a game on a weekday night on a Friday night, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know, it's okay if Illinois and Northwestern play. It's okay if, you know, Indiana, but, you know, Ohio, Penn State, Ohio State, you know, Michigan State, you know, some of the bigger names with bigger, higher profiles for high school football programs and their states, you know, let's keep it off Friday nights for now.
That's a wonderful idea, and I think that's got to make it tough on coaches, too. If you're following some of these recruits on Friday night, well, all of a sudden you can't do that because you're busy coaching a game, but I digress. I just think it's a bad idea, and hopefully the Big Ten abolishes this at some point, but we will wait and see what happens there. Speaking of high school football, my friend, who are some of the marquee matchups in the Columbus area tomorrow night as we enter week 7 of the high school football season?
Well, our game of the week is in the Columbus City League South Division. The South Bulldogs playing Walnut Ridge, the Scots of Walnut Ridge. Both teams coming in 6-0, undefeated on the year. Both teams look evenly matched. However, South has not beaten Walnut Ridge since 2005. They're looking to put an end to that big home game, probably the biggest home game in the last 25, 30 years for the South Bulldogs as they look to beat the undefeated Walnut Ridge Scots.
What was the last time you said they beat them? 2005?
2005.
Wow. Going on 14 years now. Okay, a big one down in our state capital. Good stuff. Dunny, as always, my friend, we certainly appreciate you stopping by. We look forward to doing this again next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, Sean. Again, that's Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon Sea. Matt Douglas was quick to the defense of the Big Ten playing these games on Fridays. Dunny just mentioned a lot of Columbus agrees with me. 99% of the people he has spoken to, they say it's a bad idea to play those college football games on Friday nights, especially a school like Ohio State. No need for that. But You got to do what the Big Ten tells you to do. All right, we need to step aside and take a break. We have the University Hospitals You and Your Health segment coming up next. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.